Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the August issue, where we'll cover back-to-school tips and strategies, college and alternative schools for your child with ADHD, apps and assistive technology, pros and cons, and lifelong education. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hey, all right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The topic, Parenting Action Model, and It is September, kids are back to school, parents are kind of, I don't know, getting into the groove or dealing with the turbulence that ensues when one moves from the summer into the school year, and young kids are getting older and challenges are there, and we got a great show with Elaine Taylor-Kloss in our virtual studio, and she's going to talk about a model that's a fundamental template that I think can help a lot of parents, and it's a really, really good show. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, September the 2nd, in the year 2015. And let's see, our announcements. The 2015 CHAD Conference is just a little more than 2 months away this year in New Orleans, Louisiana. That will be from November the 12th to the 14th. I encourage you, we've had a lot of great guests on Attention Talk Radio, and there's a lot of good information out there. But there's nothing like going to a CHAD conference. And by the way, CHAD stands for Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, which is the largest not-for-profit that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. And there's nothing like going to their actual conference and rubbing shoulders with the tribe. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The learning is not always just in the breakout sessions and the keynote, but so much about the hallway conversations, the conversations you strike up with your tribe when you're sitting in some of these things, and everything else that kind of goes along with it. Really want to promote ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing site used to raise money for small-scale research. That's worldwide for some areas that are really, really kind of needed. And also a quick shout-out, the ADHD Coaches Organization is accepting bids for proposals for their conference, which is coming up. It's typically going to be late April, early May. I don't have the date specifically, but if you Google ADHD Coaches Organization, then you can find more on that. So with that, I think that's all of our announcements. Tonight's show was pre-recorded with Elaine Taylor-Kloss just because everybody's got kids going back, and she's doing some stuff with Impact ADHD, maybe specific. So, again, this was taped. We're going to roll the tape. I hope you enjoy the show. There's a lot of really, really good nuggets in here. And without further ado, here we go.
A veteran healthcare advocate, Elaine Taylor-Kloss, is a writer, public speaker, and advocate for families living with complex kids. Her experience as a co-parent with her husband, David, and their ADHD family of five led Elaine to become a parenting coach and a voice for parents of children with ADHD and other learning and emotional challenges. She's the co-founder of ImpactADHD.com, a global support, training, and coaching resource for parents of kids with ADHD and related challenges. Elaine contracts with the American Academy of Pediatrics in their effort to improve pediatric diagnosis and treatment for ADHD. She also serves as a volunteer on the national board of CHAD, which is Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, chairing the Affiliate Services Committee. And with that, Elaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure to be here.
It's actually, you know, it's always an honor to interview you because I always get excited about what I'm going to learn because there's usually a couple ahas that are laying in the waiting that you'll have me thinking about for the next couple days. So it's always great to kind of have you on. Our topic today is a parent teen action plan, and you guys have this plan to kind of walk parents through how to put things in motion, and I'd kind of like you to talk about it. And specifically, what I'd like to accomplish today is really kind of pay attention to the things that most people hear, but they don't realize are the key to actually kind of making it happen. So first, can you just tell us about the plan or the models?
So let me put it in a context for a minute, because
please.
And we call it the parenting action model. And the framework here is that as we started working with parents, both from our own experience and from our work and training as coaches, we were looking for what is it that creates lasting change for families? What can parents do? You know, as parents of complex kids, we're bombarded with all of these different expectations and things we're supposed to take care of, and we're supposed to advocate at school and make sure they get their homework done and make sure they get their chores. You know, there's so many
yep.
different things to focus on, right? And it can be overwhelming and daunting and frustrating. And so we were really looking for what's the pattern, what's the process that parents can use to tackle all and any of these challenging situations. And so we looked, as I say, to the world of coaching, because coaching is about creating lasting change. And we looked at our own experiences and our work with our clients. And we created this methodology, a model, for how parents, and it really works, not just parents, adults, anyone who's looking to create change can tackle and create lasting change on any given area. So that's sort of the framework for it.
Okay, and there's basically 4 steps or 5 steps?
Well, there's 5 steps, and then there's sort of a section in it that's got 4 steps within it. But that makes it sound more complicated than it is. It's really 5 steps. It's really pretty simple.
And just the high 5 steps, the first one is taking aim, correct?
Right. Step one is take aim, and that's probably the most critical thing we can do and the one piece that people, particularly those of us with ADD, tend to want to skip.
And let's get into that for a second. Real quickly, the 5 steps are take aim, education, planning, action, and is it rent, replace?
Rinse and repeat.
Rinse and repeat. All right.
Yep.
I need to learn to read. Anyway, so let's jump in into kind of taking aim. Tell us a little bit.
When you look at the challenges that are facing us with ADHD or all of the complex issues that come with ADD, because 70% of us and our kids have coexisting conditions with ADD, and I use the terms ADD and ADHD interchangeably.
Yep.
So first we look at what we call the 6 key challenge areas. There's basically 5 or 6, depending on how you look at it, places that this shows up and it impacts our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to cause challenges with emotionality and impulsivity. It tends to cause challenges at school or at work for adults.
Yep.
We have trouble dealing with just the basic logistics of life.
Mm-hmm.
It impacts relationships. We have trouble with organization,
yep.
And then we have trouble with sort of the emotional impact to ourselves. As parents, it's the impact on us for having complex kids. You know, as adults, it's like, what does it do to our life?
Uh-huh.
So those are sort of the big areas. And if we try to, like, if I try to say, well, let's improve emotionality or let's improve organization, that's really big and overwhelming.
Yep.
So what we encourage people to do is to start by pacing ourselves, recognizing we're in this for the long haul, we're looking for perfection, not for perfection, but for improvement, right?
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to tackle things one at a time. And so taking aim is about choosing one thing that you want to see changed, one change you'd like to see,
uh-huh.
and focusing very specifically and clearly on that. So if we're working with a private client or with coaching groups, a coaching group might work on that issue for 2 weeks before they come back to the next group.
Okay. But you said
Go ahead. So the example I would use is that rather than saying, well, you know, parents will come in and say mornings are crazy or afternoons or homework is crazy. Well, that's even still too big.
Yep.
Taking aim is about getting very, very specific. So we might coach a parent for a while around, okay, maybe it's mornings. Let's be more specific. Is it setting the alarm? Is it the night before? Is it waking up? Is it getting out of bed? Is it brushing teeth? Is it getting breakfast? Like, which part of the morning do you want to start on? And you may need to ultimately address all of them. But if you try to address it all at the same time, what's going to happen?
You just...
right.
Yes.
You sort of see this, right? Exactly. It's overwhelming. It's daunting.
Yep.
And the kid doesn't know what to focus on.
Yep.
Right? But if you choose one thing, if you say, okay, we're not going to deal with homework. We're going to deal with getting started on homework. That's
mm-hmm.
a place to take aim.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you can really get specific. Then you can enroll your child in participating in tackling this one issue. Because you're not asking them to do everything. You're asking them to really focus with you on one thing. And we teach parents to continue to scaffold everything
uh-huh.
else. Right?
Yep.
And so I don't want to digress too much.
Well,
but
I want to pause here because I think that taking aim is a great context what the target is. But I think what you said that I really want to highlight, to me that you guys are spending a lot of focus on is specific and clear. And, I mean, I think that's really the root of what you're saying is, you know, you're going to get whelmed with everything. If it's something, it's, okay, we're going to focus on setting the alarm clock. Boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
That's really clear and it's really specific and it just doesn't get moshed in with everything else and running 100 miles an hour so that you have something that you can actually tackle and that you actually can accomplish. And,
right.
For you guys, for what you're doing, that's really the trick is to work with the parents to get specific and clear.
Often, we tend to make things so darn complicated, and if we simplify and get very clear, it's amazing how much progress we can make. Because, so let's use this example. We're working on setting an alarm. Now, that may not mean the kid's going to wake up to the alarm. That may be the next
mm-hmm.
thing we work on.
Yep.
But we have a success we can celebrate when we get
yep.
them to learn to set the alarm. That's like you can celebrate, then they can learn
yep.
from that success. Success breeds success. They can feel good about it. And then you can say, okay, next let's focus on getting out of bed,
mm-hmm.
right, or waking up, right?
Yep.
You know,
yes.
you know, because I mean, I know I went through this with my kids. Sometimes it's not the first alarm that's going to get them up.
It's the second shoot of the head.
Right. You know, there are different alarms. I mean, we had one of those alarms where it started, like, laughing and rolling around the room, and they had to
yep.
chase it around the room. I mean, you know, there are
yep.
all sorts
yep.
of things you may try.
Yep.
So first it's setting the alarm, then maybe it's getting the right alarm, then maybe it's waking up, then maybe it's getting out of bed. And that may sound to a parent crazy-making, but if 6 weeks down the road they're actually getting up and you're not still screaming and yelling and they're having a great start to your day, to their day and your day, it's worth every minute that it took to get there if it's lasting change.
Yeah, and I might be digging down a little bit too deep on this, but we can at least use it as a metaphor. You were talking through there a second. You mentioned the word getting the right alarm. I mean, that might kind of sound silly, but I've coached some people where literally the right alarm in the right setting, where they had to put the alarm clock on the other side of the room so she had you
yep.
to get up and go turn it off. Or there's an app out there called Wake and Shake where you got to get your phone and vigorously shake it to kind of turn it off to kind of get the stuff going. I mean, by breaking
yep.
this stuff down into specificity and going, okay, if this isn't working, you're tackling one thing at a time. And again, just to get down into it can get down to the type of alarm shows will illustrate some of the specificity that we're talking about, because if you just globalize all that stuff, you're still stuck in the overwhelm and actually really not making progress.
Right. And we'll get back to that when we talk about systems and structures, but the other piece to that is to make sure that we're using the systems that work for the person we're addressing, not for the person creating
yep.
it. Because as parents, we have this tendency to say, well, I really work well with a calendar, so my kid needs to use a calendar.
Yep, yep, yep.
And that kid may need a visual organizer. In a different
yep.
way. right?
I'm kind of curious in this area, and we're going to have to run to a break here in a minute, but when the parent gets in this and you're working for them to look for something specific and clear, it seems to me that ideally you want to look for the low-lying fruit to try to figure out that thing that you can tackle first that will have the most impact. And my sense is some parents can be overwhelmed with really kind of figuring that stuff out. Is that anything that you guys talk about or deal with, or
absolutely,
just thoughts around that?
Yeah, I love the term low-hanging fruit, and there's sort of two places to look for it. One is what's easy for the kid to be successful, because we want to build successes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is what's going to really relieve the tension from the parent, because when a parent is calm and confident and happy, then that's going to have a huge cascading effect. So sometimes it's not what's the best thing for this kid to learn, but what's going to really lighten the load enough for the parent to be a more calm and confident parent. So there's sort of two different directions, and I don't think there's anything wrong with a parent saying, I need to focus on this because it would make my life easier.
Mm-hmm. That makes
sometimes,
all the sense in the world.
Not every time, but sometimes that's a great place to start.
I don't really work in this space very much, so I don't have as much of a working knowledge, but in your working with them, do you also work with the parents to be able to learn to identify and watch the kid to learn what they're doing right, or systems that they have in place that work that might be
absolutely
a bit unusual?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's playing to their strengths and celebrating the successes is a huge part of it, seeing what works. And it's part of the model as we go forward with the model as well. There's a place in there for that. But, you know, at the beginning, when we first start working with a parent, it's interesting. It's almost like we're teaching them to take aim, and we spend a lot more time at the beginning of the work with them to just teach them how to take aim. And eventually, they sort of learn it. And the goal here is for them to be able to use this model on their own. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
so they
absolutely
begin to learn, oh, yeah, I can do that. I can let this is, and they get themselves more specific. But at first, it
yep
really helps to have someone coaching them through that level of specificity.
Absolutely. Ted Wedling, we need to run to a break real quick. Before we go, you guys have an ebook on your website. You
we
want
do
to briefly tell us about that?
It's called ADHD in Reality, Practical Tips for Parents from Parents. And it was actually one of the very first things we ever created to sort of encapsulate what ADHD really looks like in real life, not what the doctors tell you clinically, but how it
yep
shows up in a house.
And living with five, you've got it down for pat. So everybody, you can get that book and learn more at impactadhd.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to attention.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with Elaine Taylor-Kloss from Impact ADHD, and we're having a great conversation about their parenting action model. Before the break, Elaine was kind of talking about how they work with parents and how to take aim. And I can't help but digress here for a second, Elaine. It's often in our business we'll say things like that or stuff. And I always kind of like to illustrate what that might look like, just so people can get a real sense of it and maybe get like an aha. And I have to tell you, Lane, when I'm working with people, I try to teach people how to observe themselves. And one example I have of that is I was working with an individual, and he wanted coaching on basically his on Outlook, more or less. And he said he was completely disorganized, as if he couldn't kind of do anything. And it was interesting to me because I think everybody has systems. They're just not aware of it. And in working with this guy in a very short period of time, I was able to point out to him that he had a system, and it was flawless. Now, it might be inefficient, but it worked for him. And that was he didn't put contacts in the contact part of Outlook. What he would do is if he was looking for my email address, he'd click on his inbox, he'd search for Jeff Copper, and when an email came up, he'd copy and paste my email into the new email address. And my point really here is that he thought he was very, very disorganized. And what I like to do is help people be able to witness, yes, you are organized, and you have a system that works flawlessly, albeit not as efficient, but you begin to self-observe as to what's going on. And I got to believe, in a metaphorical kind of way, you're actually teaching parents how to observe and how to break things down so that they can sharpshoot on these things.
Exactly. I mean, it's really about, you know, it's what it's all about in this show. It's about paying attention to what's the change you want to see, and then not jumping to the solution of here's how to fix it, but taking the time to get clear on the goal you're trying to achieve and going through a series of steps to get there so that you come up with a solution that really works for that problem.
Absolutely. So moving past taking aim, I understand the next part is education. That sounds simple, but I got to believe there's more to it than just reading a book.
Well, it's about getting educated or getting informed. It's collecting information.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it depends on the change you're trying to see. So if you're a parent advocating in a school situation or kids having trouble with a teacher, then it might be about understanding what's going on for the teacher, what else is happening in the classroom, what time of day is the class, what's the child's experience. It's sort of gathering all of the external data about what's happening so that you can begin to move forward and plan with full information. Oftentimes it's as simple as just not just looking at it from our perspective as a parent, but really looking at what's going on for that child. Nine times out of ten, if a kid is being rude or disrespectful, they're not really rude kids, they're being triggered. So what's triggering them? What's happening? What are they up
to? In the space of education, you kind of alluded to it, but I want to highlight, you can correct me if this doesn't make sense or not, but collecting education is also a lot about embedding what you said was getting perspective. But I think that I want to highlight that because I think people lose sight of that because a second ago, before the break, we were talking about your e-book. And if you go and you read the clinical books and stuff on ADHD, it presents a picture. But as you know, Lane, when you live with it, it manifests in a very different way. And if getting those different perspectives and to try to find really which one matches your particular situation really makes, to me, a lot of sense. And, you know, I find a lot of people go and get educated and they read these books and their perspective is I must be like there's this model ADD person that's out there, and it's really not the case. I mean, everybody's completely different. I mean, I've coached those with ADD that were sales guys and tax accountants. They really go across the end of the spectrums. But I guess really what I feel like that it needs to be highlighted, it's an education and an education particularly from different perspectives. So you have a 360-degree view of what's going on that can help you find those obvious solutions that might not seem obvious, like a timer that rolls all over the floor or a wake and shake type thing.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, you know, what is coaching? Coaching is all about looking at things from different perspectives. And, and you know, for a lot of people, that sounds like fancy language. And so when you say collect information, it feels a little more accessible. But you're absolutely 100% on target, that it's about looking at it from all angles and sort of doing a 360 with the issue that you're trying to change so that you understand what's happening before you try to create change around it. You really got to understand if a child is upset, there's a reason for it, and you need that reason may be part of your solution. Right?
Brilliantly said. Now, the first two steps, aim and education, it seems to me that you guys slow parents down through this process because my sense is everybody wants to jump to the planning phase. Is that
they want to jump to action. Are you kidding? Bailiff, put that system into place right now.
But that's the thing is that I think that if we back up and do a meta construct of kind of what you're talking about here, with you put this model together so you can kind of tackle any problem. And I think people lose sight on, people come to coaching because they want outcome. I get that, but I got to tell you something, you can't get to outcome unless you figure out the process to get there.
Right.
And I know I could care less about the outcome for most people. My job is to help them understand how they think, what is their process to get there, because if I can unfold that to them, then they can replicate it. And,
exactly.
And so, again, just to highlight this is Elaine's, we're talking about this model, it's a process to deal with any processes, and if you break it down to these steps and you do it the right way, it can give you the tools to get there. So with that being said, let's transition into planning, because I think there's a lot to this.
Yep. It's the biggest section, of course. And I have to say, as a person with ADD, I'm not a huge planner. And so when we first started talking about this and labeled it planning, I started going into a little bit of hives. But I've really learned to be with the planning piece, because it really does make a difference. And so what we've done is we've broken it down into four what we call the critical response areas. So you've taken aim, you've collected information, now it's time to figure out what you want to do about it. And in order to do that, you have to look at the different ways that we can respond to our kids. And again, this works very well for adults and for relationships other than with our kids. But so the four critical response areas are activate the brain, positivity or parenting positively, shifting or setting realistic expectations, and using systems and structures. And what happens is that people tend to start putting a system and structure in place before they look at these other pieces. And so we want to make sure that we're putting systems in place in the context of recognizing that what's happening is neurological, it's in the brain, and we have to address that. Mm-hmm. We want to do it from a place of positivity and a strength-based approach. And we want to be setting realistic expectations so that we can have some successes because, again, and I've said it probably five times already in the show, success breeds success. So by the time you get to a system and structure, you want to have at least considered all of those other three critical responses and figured out how to pull those in to create a system that's really effective.
So I'm interested in you commenting on this. An individual that I work with, it bleeds out sometimes in coaching the family a little bit, that has ADD, and they have a child that has ADD, and we've come to learn over the years that the child can really do almost anything in the company of somebody else, but it's really on their own is
uh-huh.
and given freedom is it's kind of a recipe for disaster. And it's just been interesting to me how many times we've had this conversation and the parents jumping to systems and structures, and they always leave out the fact that they shouldn't be leaving the kid in isolation or having an expectation the kid's going to be able to accomplish something, because it doesn't activate that child's brain, and thus those types of structures don't work. Whereas seems to me what you're oversimplifying is if you understand that this child can do anything in the company or something else, then that should flow through whatever system puts in place needs to be with or among somebody in such a way that you're working with their AD as opposed to against it. Am I accurate reflection?
Right on target. It's a perfect example. And so it may be that there's a future goal to get that child, help that child learn to work independently, but that may not be a reasonable expectation at this time, right? First, we want to get a child learning to do whatever it is they're doing, and then at a more age-appropriate or developmentally appropriate time, that may be a different place to take aim.
Oversimplifies. Let's start with what works, and then we can kind of start expanding out from that perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, let's get the train on the track so we have that it works, then we can make adjustments in that. So really makes a little logical sense. Elaine, we need to get to the next couple steps, but again, I need to run to another kind of commercial break. Can you repeat the name of your ebook on your website? Because I didn't write it
Absolutely.
Down.
Absolutely. The ebook is ADHD in Reality, Practical Tips for Parents from Parents. And you can get to it at impactadhd.com.
And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back here. We are having a great conversation, and I'm having a couple aha moments with Elaine Taylor-Kloss from Impact ADHD on their parenting action model. So far we've been talking about taking aim, education, and planning. So we've isolated the fact that we're going to focus on the alarm clock, and we've gotten an education that there's all kinds of alarm clocks. There's like time timer, there's sand timer, there's egg timers. There's the notion of putting the timer kind of across the room, and we've actually maybe come to the point of realization that our child doesn't wake up to a buzzer, they wake up to music of some sorts or whatever, because that kind of activates their brain, they fits into it. So finally, Elaine, after all that, we're, I think, moving into the action side. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Well, so I just want to, yes, Anne, I want to step back and say we've activated the brain, we've looked, I just want to reemphasize those four critical response areas, because the planning is about looking at, you know, if it's happening first thing in the morning, is it a reasonable expectation that he's going to rapidly run through brushing his teeth if he hasn't had his food or breakfast or medicine or something yet, right?
Yep.
We really want to look at setting realistic expectations for our kids and coming from a place of positivity, believing in what they can do instead of what they can't, helping them see what their strengths are instead of constantly focusing on their downsides, which we as parents just all do too much, regardless of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, as we want to put a system and structure in place, then we want to start taking action. And part of that is about getting really clear on what that system or structure or plan is. And part of that is making sure that we've got our kids' buy-in into the process. So because, you know, what happens more, I think probably the biggest complaint I hear from parents, other than my kids are making me crazy, is I gave him this to do and he didn't do it. I told her to do that and she didn't do it. I gave her a planner. I gave her a calendar. I made it easy for her. Why isn't she doing it? And it's because she had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So action is about collaborating and working in tandem with our kids to help them achieve success. And so it's about trying something, agreeing to try it, maybe if it's something that the kid's a little hesitant about, trying a piece of it or trying it for a day or a week. I was working with a client today who is an ADHD adult and with a bunch of ADD kids, and she wanted to monitor something going on with one of her kids, and so we agreed that she would journal it. But the idea of journaling was overwhelming, but we agreed she could do it for 3 days, right? So we made it manageable.
Mm-hmm.
We set some action into place for her to do a short version of it rather than having to be 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll check back in a few days. And that sort of leads us. So whatever action we're going to do, we're going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the word start because it's really important to remember that whatever we're trying to do, it's not likely to work the first time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, change takes time. It takes practice. It takes trial and error. And so that's where step 5 comes in, rinse and repeat, which is about looking at what happened and saying, okay, this worked, we're going to keep this.
Yep.
This didn't work, how are we going to tweak this, how are we going to change this? We call it failing forward. I know that's a term you and I have played with a lot.
Uh-huh.
The idea that once we take action, it doesn't mean we're done. It means we're starting a process of creating change.
Yep.
And so action necessarily leads to rinse and repeat, which is we keep trying it, we tweak it, we change it, we modify it. And then when we're done, sometimes we're going to come back to take aim. We're going to come back and start over. We're going to tweak something and say, you know what, that didn't work at all. We've got to try again. We've got to approach
mm-hmm.
this completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
Or we may say, bingo, we got it, and we're going to go back and take aim on something new.
Yep.
So the model is cyclical. It brings us back to the beginning. But sometimes it's the beginning to start again on the same project or same challenge, and sometimes it's to start something new.
For the crowd out there, both Elaine and I went through Coaches Training Institute many, many, many years ago. And one of the things they emphasize in that, it's all about learning, taking action. And what I've learned over the years is you got to take the action, but the most important component is learning, because you can take action. If you don't
yeah.
learn from the action, it's really, really kind of useless. And so it's kind of like the trial and error. You know, it's what is Watson, with the light bulb guy, said, you know, I proved 10,000 ways that it didn't work before I got it work one. And I'm only emphasizing that because when you go through these cycles, if you're not focused on what you're learning from the process, you're really learning the meat of what you can get out of it, at least from my perspective.
It's so true. Well, and the other piece I would add to that is that, I mean, besides the fact that that's how the human brain learns is through
yep.
error and mistake. You know, we fall before we walk, we babble before we talk.
Yep.
That's how we learn.
Yep.
And as parents, we have this somehow we have this ridiculous notion that we're supposed to be perfect and our kids are supposed to be perfect. and they're supposed to do it all right the first time.
Well, I know. I've proven I'm not perfect.
Somewhere, you know, like I have this big sign up on my wall that says done beats perfect, right?
Yep.
And somewhere we as parents have got to give our kids permission to make mistakes in order to learn.
Yep.
And to make mistakes without being wrong for making a mistake. And that's a
yep.
huge one, I think.
Yep.
And for kids with ADHD and all the complex issues that our kids have, it's magnified because they're
yep.
wrong a lot.
Yep.
You know, they make a lot of mistakes.
Yep.
They get redirected all the time. And if they feel wrong every time they make a mistake, they start getting what I call defensive dishonesty. They start avoiding
yep.
taking responsibility. There are all these behaviors, both offensive and defensive, that they go into just to stop being wrong all the time.
Yep. I love
you know?
Offensive and defensive behaviors. It's kind of an interesting way to plug. I love that.
They're tired of it, and we
yep.
unwittingly reinforce it. We don't mean to, but we do it all the time. So if we can embrace mistakes, allow for mistakes, sometimes even celebrate the mistakes,
mm-hmm.
you know, find the way to be with it and to not expect it to be perfect the first time,
mm-hmm.
But to expect that we have to tweak and modify and see what worked and what didn't,
yep.
that's how our kids will learn to really learn to manage themselves.
Now, Elaine, this model that you've described, it seems to me that it's probably best done in conjunction either, you know, with your spouse, or you talk out loud and verbalize it maybe with a friend or a relative. It just seems to me that if you just sit in your head with this, I mean, some people will be able to activate on it, but my intuition tells me is that this is something that should be externalized and played with a little bit in order to make it easy for a parent, particularly an ADHD parent, to execute. You want to comment on that statement?
Yeah, well, and there's one more section of the model I want to talk about, but
yep.
but let me address that first.
Okay.
And that's because it's a great point you raise. And we designed the model to become something that you can habitually land on. But I think you do have to, like anything, you have to learn to use it first. You have to practice
mm-hmm.
it. You know, it's great to practice it with a coach. That's every time we work with a client, at some point or another, our client will hear us say, okay, let's go to the model. Where are we in the model?
Yep.
You know,
yep.
it's not like we start every call with it, what we do with our coaching, our group coaching. But,
yep.
But so I do think it does help to have someone guide you through it. I keep it posted on my wall so I can always look and sort of see where I am in the model.
Yep.
And so we definitely believe that as you practice it, it's something that can become an innate process that you use. And over time,
mm-hmm.
I know for Diane and me both, it has become that. Like we just sort of naturally go to, okay, where am I in the model and where do I need to be now?
Yep.
So I think you can do it independently, but at first it takes that verbal, external, conscious use of it
yep.
before you get in the habit of using it.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
And there, can I just mention there's one more part to the model
yep.
that we forgot to talk
Please.
About, but it's critical.
Please.
And that's the way we've designed the model is that it's circled in self-care. And so all of these pieces go around this, you know, in a cyclical way. You take aim and you go around the circle. But all of it is surrounded by self-care. And our belief is, and our experience has been, that thriving kids and parents care of themselves and pay attention to their needs as well as their kids and learn to guide kids through this process and guide themselves through the process of tackling challenging situations one at a time. It keeps you out of overwhelm. It reduces the frustration. It helps you enjoy the process of parenting again. But a critical, critical piece is to make sure that you're part of the puzzle, that it's not just about your kids out there, but this is about relationship dynamics. And so taking care of ourselves not only improves our relationships with our kids, but it teaches our kids to take care of themselves.
What would an example of self-care look like for somebody in one of these situations?
You know, self-care could be as simple as making sure you take a 10-minute walk with your dog every day. It could be making sure you have time to read a book at night. It could be time with your friends. It could be, for some people it's, getting your hair and nails done. It could be taking classes. So for some people, mm-hmm. self-care is working.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me the best thing I ever did for myself was going back to work, that mm-hmm. being a stay-at-home mom was not a healthy thing for me long-term, and it was not healthy for my kids. Because
mm-hmm.
I was obsessing about my kids,
yep.
right? Self-care is about whatever it is that individual needs to remember that they're part, parents have this tendency, particularly moms, to give themselves away. And when you have a special needs kid and your kid's diagnosed with something, then all of a sudden everything is about how we're going to manage and fix and take care of this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to address the kid's needs. But if you do it to the exclusion of your own for too long, it's not good for you. Your fuel tank runs dry. You get resentful. Your kids get this skewed sense of priorities. It's just not healthy for anyone. It's the quintessential putting your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah, the first, I guess, metaphor that came to mind is the house is on fire. It probably feels like it's on fire to you, but the point really is you still need to go out and take care of self-care because it is what it is. But probably more realistically is putting the oxygen mask on yourself before you put on the kids, because what good are you if you're down for the count? And I don't want to underscore that. We talk about that all the time. I don't think it's the easiest thing to do, particularly if you're a parent and you're loved and you're worried about the situation, but it takes a little bit of self-regulation to step in and really kind of hold and honor that in order for this all to thrive and work.
Exactly. And I hear it from parents all the time, I don't have time to. I don't have time to. And the truth is, you can't afford not to.
Yep.
If you really want to do what's best for your child, you will put yourself back in that picture somewhere, somehow.
Absolutely. Well, before we wrap this up, any final words of wisdom or comments?
I think that the biggest thing I would say is to pace yourself, is to recognize that we're in this for the long haul, that ADHD is not something we're, like, contrary to former belief, we're not going to grow out of, or at least
mm-hmm.
most of our kids aren't,
mm-hmm.
that it's about learning to manage it. And so when we're learning to manage something, we need to give ourselves the time and the space to do that effectively and not feel like we're in a race, because that's when we get stressed out and that's when we put too much pressure on our kids and set unrealistic expectations.
And that's when we globalize
accept,
and we're not really clear and we don't really have
exactly.
the information in order to execute it. We're just throwing stuff up in a panic. And the one thing I've learned
over
years...
Spaghetti against the wall.
Yeah,
right.
Is you got to stop in any emergency situation. You got to stop, calm down, and pause, which is kind of goes back to as Dr. Barclay's model of ADHD is really self-regulation. You got to stop and down-regulate your emotions so that you can engage your executive functioning brain to override the automatic brain, because that's the tool that's
exactly.
going to get you out of it, not just succumbing to that automatic. So, with
right.
that, as always,
and that's where reasonable expectations come in, because as parents, we freak out if our kids aren't right on line with their peers, and the truth is, our kids are 3 to 5 years behind their peers developmentally in some aspects of their development. And so it's going to take them a little longer. And if we can allow for that and not freak out about that,
yep.
the kids won't feel like they're broken. They'll find their success.
Touche, touche. So, Elaine, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh. My pleasure.
Oh, my gosh. We're having a little technical difficulty here. But there we go. So, Elaine, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Truly a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, go check out ImpactADHD.com. Check out their ebook and all the other great things they've got going on. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.